everybody. I'm Stephanie Beaumont, and this is CNB Seen and Heard, rolling through our eighth season of celebrating the four Atlantic provinces here on Cove FM, where with each broadcast, I want to bring you just a little bit closer to some of the amazing personalities that make up this corner of the planet. They may be native to Nova Scotia or New Brunswick, Prince Edward Island or Newfoundland and Labrador, or they may be kindred spirits who simply adore living and working in Atlantic Canada. The only requirement here is that you're willing to raise the fun flag and wave it in salute of Canada's awesome East Coast. And our chats will be just that. Very conversational, not entirely sensible, and with any luck, totally enjoyable. And what an absolute delight it was to connect with today's guest, who's following up her award-winning big screen debut with another command performance in the 2026 retelling of a 1986 classic called Youngblood. Set to roll into theaters across the country this Friday, March the 6th, the new movie, like the original, revolves around a young, fiery hockey player who's determined to make it big despite his demons and his dad. A fresh turn on this new take, however, is handled by our guest today, who takes on the role of romantic interest Jesse Chadwick with the added dimension of being a hockey goalie with goals of her own. And you best believe we'll talk about how her tremendous talent, coupled with her sporty skills, ticked every box to book the gig. We'll also hear how it felt to be one of so few women in the feature, and learn how her on-screen dad, played by NL's Sean Doyle, made her feel like a real-life daughter. We'll also flash back to her first feature with fond words from her director, and we'll hear all about the passion she put into her ACTRA award-winning performance. Plus, we'll learn what it was like growing up on Prince Edward Island, discover how she got started in the business, get her advice for aspiring actors, and get the scoop on what she's working on next. We'll also get to First Things First, play an enlightening round of Insights in 10, and even spin some of her favorite tunes along the way. So with all that ahead, we best get to it. Here's my telephone conversation with the one and only Alexandra McDonald. Ladies and gentlemen, how amazing is my life when I can watch a movie and then call the actress that stars in it? That is my life today, and I'm so happy to welcome to CNB Seen and Heard the award-winning and wonderful Alexandra McDonald. How are you?
Hi, Stephanie. I'm great. I'm surviving winter in Halifax, but other than that, I'm excited for the next month with Youngblood Press and seeing where that takes me.
That's awesome. Well, I have a million questions, but I have to start this phone call the way I do all my phone calls, and that's with First Things First. And so these first four questions are really just icebreakers.
Okay.
Alexandra McDonald, your first teacher.
Oh, I was talking about this the other day with my cousin and my boyfriend, and I was so scared because I couldn't remember her name.
Oh, no.
And then like 12 hours later, I was like, I remember it. Her name was Miss K.
I said in the intro, you were from Prince Edward Island. That is correct.
Yes.
Whereabouts on the island did you go to school?
I grew up in Kensington.
Okay, very good. Shout out to Miss K. And we'll move on now to our next question, which is Alexandra McDonald, your first job.
Oh my gosh, this is hilarious. My sister in Kensington, PEI, my sister who's 3 years older than me, was working at an ice cream store or ice cream, like, we call it dairy bar, but I realized not everybody calls it that. I worked at a dairy bar called Johnny's Dairy Bar, and I was like 12, and I was going to visit my sister and get an ice cream, and the owner was like, do you want a job? And I was just kind of like, I do want to eat ice cream a lot, so yes, I will work here.
Was it free ice cream?
Yeah, I mean, when you're working, for sure.
Oh my gosh, you gotta love that. Okay, very good. Alexandra McDonald, our third question in First Things First, your first car.
My first car was a Toyota Corolla 2011 or something, and now I have a Toyota Corolla 2020 or 2019. So I'm a Corolla girl.
Nice.
Sure. Yeah.
Very good. All right. And our very last question, Alexandra McDonald, your first date. Where'd you go? What'd you do? What's your name, if you don't mind saying?
I went to the movies and I saw, what did I say? I think I saw like Valentine's Day, that movie where there's like a compilation of stories.
Oh, yes.
Of all like the big time actors and Zac Efron's in it, I think. Yeah.
Very good. That's great. Okay. Now listen, when I said I had a lot to talk to you about, I absolutely do. We got to talk about your award-winning film. We've got to talk about your forthcoming movie, Youngblood. But if you don't mind, because Youngblood is about hockey, I just did a little bit of a deep dive and noticed that you're also a golfer. Are you a sporty girl, Alexandra McDonald?
I am so sporty. It is like my
is that
identity.
True?
Yeah. You know, growing up in Kensington and I was my dad's last daughter and he put all of his sports expectations onto me.
Oh my
and
gosh,
I was
so
very willingly to abide by his expectations and also just like go above them. So
right.
Yes, I'm a very sporty girl.
Oh, that's good. Well, I wonder too, because it's not like you had to pretend to be a hockey player and just put on the gear. You were actually out there in Youngblood. And I find like arenas cold. And then I'm wondering like with all the gear, because you were a goalie, which is even more gear. Like, was that part of the audition?
Putting on goalie
well,
gear?
Not even.
Or
not
like
even,
being on the ice?
Yeah, just like, because, you know, there was an inordinate amount of action off the ice.
Uh-huh.
But not every actress can carry off like being a goalie and stopping, you know, pucks flying at their head.
Yeah.
Did you have a stunt person?
That is like, that's a very good question. For my audition, they said, and you get like self-tape requests now in this day and age of
yes.
acting. And, you know, they had the scenes and then they had hockey footage, if you can. So I was playing in a competitive women's league at the time here. So I got a friend to come film me playing hockey. And then also for my audition tape, I put on road hockey goalie gear and I set up my self-tape with the hockey net behind me and I had the gear on and I had the helmet on the top of my head. So I went all out for this audition to prove to them that I am Jesse Chadwick and I am a real hockey player.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to roll you back. You said a women's league. So you're actually physically playing hockey on the reg.
Well, at the time I was in a competitive women's league here in Halifax, but now I play in a co-ed competitive league and we had a game last night and I actually got the belt, which means like the player of the game, like each teammate who gets a belt each game then chooses the next player of the game. And yeah, we won in our playoffs last night 2-0 and I mostly play against all men and there's mostly only like one or two females on each team. And so I'm still playing.
That's like, I'm just imagining being the casting director going, we've hit the jackpot. Like,
yeah.
Right? Honestly, that's unreal. So Alexandra, let's just step back because I know for a fact, I'm not great at math, but I guarantee you that the original Youngblood came out well in advance of your birth. And I wonder, because this is a remake with some reimagining, if you will, some twists, and otherwise, had you seen the first one when you auditioned for this one? Did you know anything about it?
I unfortunately didn't because, yes, it was out, I think, like 15 years before I was born. But when I
just,
asked my dad.
Give me a minute. I need to pause for a moment. Oh, my God. You're just a baby. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, caller. Go ahead.
So I remember like looking it up and I was like, oh, Rob Lowe, Patrick Swayze, Keanu Reeves, this is legit.
Yeah.
And then I had some like male coworkers that play hockey. I'm like, do you know the film Youngblood? And they're like, yeah, like, oh my gosh. And then I asked my dad and he's like, yeah, of course. So I was like, okay, so this is something like this. Feels like something big to be a part of.
Indeed. Okay. But now your character, I remember Cindy Gibbs. She was like the cutest thing on the planet back then. And she's still in Hallmark movies now and Christmas movies. I just saw her not too long ago. But your character, very different from her character.
Yes.
So now how would you describe Jesse Chadwick?
Oh, good question. My character, Jesse, really highlights the gender disparity in hockey. Like, this is her sport. She loves it just the same as Dean. She puts in the exact same amount of effort, but her future in a professional hockey league like the PWHL would be a maximum of $80,000 a year, and that's like a max. I don't even think a goalie would get that, and that would still require her to get a degree and like find another job to supplement her income. So my character Jessie in this reimagined Youngblood is navigating ambition in a system that doesn't always reward women in the same way.
Well, obviously that's something that's sort of front and center, but the undercurrent of it, if you will, is the fact that you are one of the, really the only female character. Like, I with know. The exception of the mom, who, well, I don't want to give too much away, but isn't in it very much past the beginning. So how was that? I mean, even from a story standpoint, from a work environment, they seem like very, you know, lovely fellows. I know Sean Doyle, and we'll talk about him in just a bit. But just in terms of the actual, you know, you get the script as an actress and you read it, do you go, wait just a second, am I the only woman in this movie?
Honestly, it kind of empowers me. And again, I play on like a co-ed hockey team myself. And, you know, it's just me. And actually, I made my sister be the other person on the team. And so I'm used to that. I played in boys hockey growing up. I'm very much used to being like the only girl in the room. And it was the guys were so, so nice. I knew Ashton for about 10 years now. We went to the same acting college in Toronto.
Wow.
Yeah, so I knew him, and we felt...
You had a good rapport.
Yeah, exactly. Felt very safe around him. And again, like, I am just naturally growing up, being on boys' sports, it didn't really strike me that much. Until one day when I was in the makeup chair, and all of the hockey boys were in the makeup trailer, and they were just, like, so loud, and it was early in the morning, and, like, I was just, like, and I was like, can you guys, like, be quiet, and they're laughing, and, like, they're so nice and everything, but they just have a different energy.
Indeed.
It's a different energy than an all-female makeup trailer.
For sure. Okay, I've got to give a shout out to Tamara Podemski too, because she's in there without question, and her daughter. And Tamara did such a great job as Miss McGill. So a great, you know, it was a great ensemble piece without question. And it sounds to me like the energy offstage was great. Now you get this script. Let's go back to where you do like in this like blow the doors off audition. The casting directors are like, oh my gosh, she's amazing. You get booked. You're there. Like, how long ago was that, Alexandra? Because, you know, we're getting excited to have it roll into theaters March the 6th. But when did this first come on your radar?
I started auditioning in late 2021. I don't think they had the full funding yet, but they were just kind of seeing maybe what was out there. So that was kind of like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that they didn't have, you know, all the funding and stuff. So I was very excited since 2021.
Wow.
And then...
Are you a patient person?
That is my word of 2026, is patience.
Wait, so I am. Is that to like work on it because you're not?
No, I am.
Oh,
and
okay.
I just want to be secure in being patient, because that I'm a very energetic, I have a lot of energy and like hardworking energy, but in this industry you have to be really patient. So I try to put that energy into working out and to being on a sports team and like being patient with my career, because a lot of the time it's out of my control. So I don't want to spin out, you know, stressing over my career every day. So patience is something I've learned probably since 2021, because I had to be very patient with this film.
Wow.
For sure. I would like to mention that the late Charles Officer, the late and very talented Charles Officer, was first signed on to direct this film, and then unfortunately passed away in 2023. But me and Charles, that's who I auditioned for a lot of the time. And we followed each other on social media. And he grew up playing hockey. He was a black hockey player. So this was very close to him.
Mm.
And we shared the love of the sport through like my Zoom auditions and through social media and stuff. And like one of the last things he said to me through messaging was like, I hope to work together someday. So I do feel like we did work together. And I really want to honor him because he was the first person to see Jessie in me, and was very much like, to the producers, like, Alexandra, MacDonald has to be Jesse.
Oh,
and Hubert Davis, who took over directing, who did a wonderful job and was a director of the documentary Black Ice that did really well. He's also like an Oscar nominated director.
Wow.
And he was like, yeah, you were always like, once I signed on, they're like, Alexander MacDonald's going to be Jesse Chadwick. That was, you know, everybody else knew that except for me. And when I went back in 2024, August 2024, I remember I got an email on a summer day and they're like, is Alexander MacDonald like available to do a chemistry read? And I was like, oh my gosh, is this actually happening? And so then I did the chemistry read in Toronto in September of 2024. And then I didn't find out until December, like 18th or something of that year in 2024 that I booked it. So yes, patience is something I know
unreal.
A lot about.
Oh my gosh, that's actually unreal when you really think about it. I mean, you really were. I mean, it's, and I did see that dedication at the end of the film, which is lovely, mm-hmm. to Charles Officer. So that's great to know the backstory there that he believed in you. But to have to wait that long, oh my gosh, you must be so excited. So now, will there be a premiere party? Has there been one for the cool kids? What happened?
It premiered at TIFF, which was one of my biggest goals in my career, was to be in a film that premiered at TIFF. So I got to experience that this year.
The first of many, right?
Actually, I was in another film, Sharp Corner, that premiered at TIFF, but it was a very small principal role. And so I did get to experience a little bit, but truly I was like, I really wanted to be a main character of a film that premiered at TIFF. So I got to experience that this past September. And it was like everything I could have dreamed of. My sisters and my cousin and my mom and my boyfriend all got to go to the premiere. And then the after party was at the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Oh, wow.
And it was just so iconic. It was awesome.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing. That's amazing. Oh my gosh. I knew this hour was going to fly by. We have got to stop down for our first commercial break. Now, there is a scene in the movie, which I guess it's not really a plot point, although it's something precipitates that, you know, well, I can't give too much away. I'm not a big fan of spoilers. So let's just say that there's a song that plays in the bar. We'll just leave it like that. It's I'm Gonna Be by the Proclaimers. Now, you got involved in some of the singing of that.
I did. Yes.
It was a big crowd scene. It was like there was a lot of mayhem. Those scenes, while they look fun on camera, they take a while to shoot. Now, could you give us some inside scoop on 500 Miles and how that came to be? And then we'll play that song as we head to break.
Perfect. Yeah, that I remember. I didn't know what song he was going to sing because they were trying to get the license for, you know, whatever.
Yes.
And so I didn't know until like the day before or something. And it truly was like Ashton's time to shine. And I was just watching him as Jesse and also as Alex, and I was just laughing because it's like I know Ashton well, and he like likes attention, but I don't know if he likes it in that way.
He's not a great singer. I don't think he's gonna mind me saying that because he's got a lot of other qualities, but singing is not one of them. Am I right?
Yeah, you're definitely right. So I was just giggling and laughing and kind of being a little bit embarrassed for him as well, because he had to do it like so many times.
Right.
And when he would come down and try to like sing to me, I was very much just like taking it all in. I felt like I truly probably felt just as awkward as Alexandra. Yeah, in my body, Alexandra was feeling awkward and anxious for Ashton, and then also Jesse was feeling awkward and anxious for Dean.
Oh my gosh. Well, it's such a fun scene. And I know everybody's going to enjoy it when it hits the screen on March the 6th with Young Blood. But right now, I'm going to play it here on CNBC Seen and Heard as the Proclaimers originally intended it to be. We'll have lots more with Alexander MacDonald when we return. But right now, here are the Proclaimers with I'm Gonna Be on Cove FM.
When I wake up, well, I know I'm gonna be the man who wakes up next to you. When I go out, yeah, I know I'm gonna be the man who goes along with you. If I get drunk, well, I know I'm gonna be the man who gets drunk next to you. And if I haver, yeah, I know I'm gonna be the man who's havering to you.
Don't know the rules and oh, all you do Maybe it's illogical to forget the way you made my heart beat. Maybe it's logical overlooking the way that you looked at me. It's not what you want, it's what you know. Maybe I'm being illogical.
Welcome back to CNBC Seen and Heard here on Cove FM. That's Amelia May with Logical by special request for our very special guest today. That's Alexandra McDonald. And now, why did you choose that one? There must be a great story.
There is a great story. Amelia and I grew up together in Prince Edward Island, and we have been supportive of one another's careers since like we were teenagers. I was in theater. She was singing at like parties and stuff. And throughout our 20s, we just have been cheering each other on. And I actually directed one of her music videos, Good Mother, that we shot in PEI. And we just always are championing one another. So I would like to shout out her. And she's Catherine McClellan's niece.
Oh my gosh, that's so great. So that talent is genetic,
without question.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, listen, now we're going to move on because we've got so much of your body of work to talk about. But before we move off Youngblood, and while we're on the topic of East Coast talent, I wanted to talk to you about Mr. Sean Doyle, because I am a huge fan. He knows it. The restraining order proves it. he's just exceptional in everything he does. And I wondered, because there are a good number of scenes where you're in it with just one other person, because of the nature of the film. It's intimate and it's telling, even though the scope of the story is big. There are a lot of really small scenes. And you were in a number of them with Sean. What's that like?
Sean and I, when I met Sean, I met him, we did a little character read through at the production office before filming. And when I met him, his energy was very similar to my dad's. My dad would never be an actor in any lifetime. But when I met Sean, I was like, whoa, this is a very quiet, like kind of reserved man, just the way that I met him. And he was so generous in his scenes, and like we would just connect. I just was able to connect with him on a whole other level, like immediately. And we also went out to breakfast together as father and daughter in Roncesvalles in Toronto before filming, and so we got to know each other on a more
like
personal
method?
Level.
You mean like method acting? Method breakfast?
Yes,
not true.
Exactly.
Is that true?
Yeah, it was really cute. And he even, you know, as a dad would, he got the bill. So I was like, this, nice. I feel very like his daughter in this moment. Yeah, it was really cute. And yeah, I know he's from Newfoundland, and we talked about that. And he's such a natural, like you're just in a scene with him, and he's got such like this quiet confidence that you can just lock into and be natural with him. Like he's such a great actor. I think he is fantastic in this film. He gives me chills as Coach Chadwick.
That's so good. Well, and there's a lot of layers to that character as well. Now, listen, we talk about being wonderful on camera and being in demand. And I want to read something that was sent to me last night, because I reached out to someone who's worked with you before, and I'm just going to read exactly what she wrote back. I'm so glad you're interviewing her. I want to tell you about the last scene of Night Blooms. It was an emotional one. I won't ruin it for anyone who might not have seen it yet, but it wasn't scripted that Alexandra cry in that scene. But when the camera rolled, it was amazing how good she was. I mean, she cried, got emotional in this way that felt so real. I felt like that character was just a real person in front of us, and the emotion made so much sense. It was amazing to watch. And she won an actor award for that movie, which was so well deserved. I'm so proud of her. I tell everyone I know who makes movies to cast her in their stuff. You know that.
I know who that is.
Stephanie Joliet, who was very thrilled to be. I reached out to her yesterday to say, I'm talking to Alexandra. Do you have anything to say? And she's like, oh my gosh, she's amazing. So she wrote that for me to read. And I won't say diametrically opposed characters, but it certainly shows a range, your work in Youngblood versus your work in Night Blooms. Tell me a little bit about that role. You won an award for it for sure, and well-deserved, as Stephanie mentioned, but definitely edgier.
Yes, it's so funny. Night Blooms and Youngblood were both movies that when I auditioned, like, I immediately felt the characters. Like, for Laura, I grew up in a small town, Kensington, and just her kind of energy. I'm really into astrology. And
oh, are you? I was going to ask you. Oh my gosh. Okay. Because, sorry, I hate to interrupt you, but let me, when you were talking about your character and patience and, you know, your discipline and in sports and all these other sorts of things, what are you?
I am a Capricorn rising, which definitely a lot of that discipline comes from my Capricorn rising. And then I'm a Libra.
My mother was a Capricorn, which is, I was going to say Capricorn, but I was like, maybe that she's not. Okay, very good. Okay, I'm so sorry to have interrupted you. Go ahead, caller. Okay. You're into astrology.
Well, I would like to finish that. I am a Capricorn rising. This is like a more in-depth like astrology. So I'm a Capricorn rising. So that's how I present to other people when they first meet me, especially in work dynamics. But I'm a Libra sun, so I am born September 24th, but then I'm a Cancer moon, which your moon is like your emotions and stuff, and Cancers are ruled by the moon and a water sign, so they're the most emotional ones of the zodiac. So I have a lot of like variety inside of me. And so when I was reading Night Blooms and Laura, I felt like her energy was very Libra-like, because Libras just want to please everybody else and they want to keep the balance. But there's kind of some, you know, they repress a lot of their emotions sometimes. And I felt that throughout the film of Night Blooms, I was like even keeled and like wanted to just balance everything with my dad, my mom, my best friend Carly. And then when it all came to a head, I could no longer like repress those emotions and pretend that everything is okay. And truly in that moment when I filmed that scene for Night Blooms, they were gonna start on Jessica Clement, who plays Carly. And then when we were doing the read through, I kept on crying. And they were like, are you acting or is this something wrong with you and your personal life? Because it was just so organic. Like it truly was like, okay, I've seen actors cry before. I don't think this is it. But I was like, I was truly like, no, this is it. Like this is I and they're like, oh, okay. So they're like, we're going to start on Alexandra to start because we want to capture this emotion. And because of like the nature of indie films, it's not as, you're not surrounded by two cameras in your face, there's not a ton of crew and stuff, so you have a lot of air to breathe and really connect with your scene partner. And truly just like me and Jessica filmed like 15 days together, and this was probably like the 12th, and we got so connected throughout this time, and in the film like it just kind of felt betrayed by her, and it really the emotions were there. And I was like to Stephanie, I'm like, I can't stop crying. I'm sorry. I'm just like, I feel like Laura feels this way and that. She's like, this is your character. Go ahead. Like, please feel all those emotions.
Oh, there you go. Well, it's very cool. Now you mentioned the indie film side of it, and I would imagine the budget was bigger on Youngblood. And certainly the amount of cast and background and everything on Youngblood, everything must have been bigger.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. I was like, when I was in Toronto filming, even like all the trailers, when I first arrived on set, I was like, oh, this is a lot bigger. Like I knew it was going to be a big movie and big budget, but when I saw like the amount of trailers, I was just like in my wardrobe, like I had Lululemon and Aloe and Skims, and I was just like, wow, this is luxurious.
Legit. Oh, very good. Well, I ask you that because you yourself are a writer and a director, and a wonderful workshop with the St. John's International Women's Film Festival, where they had a great group of directors, and they were talking about micro budgets. Uh-huh. And I wonder when it comes, it was Brianna, that's the name of your short.
Yeah.
Are you working on that still, or has it completed?
I completed that. I've directed two short films. Okay. I completed Brianna, and it's a true story about a friend of mine. And I learned so much through that process. But it may be like in like 5 years or 10 years when I'm not so close to it, I will release it, or, you know, I think it's really well done. I got my friend Amelia May to make a song for it. I love it, but it's very niche. It's a little dark, and I when the timing is right for the world to take it in,
right.
I will jump on that opportunity. But for right
good.
Now, it's a great calling card for when I'm like applying for grants and stuff like that. And I edited that film over like 4 months.
Wow.
Yeah. So I learned so much through that film. And it's one of those things where you're just like, I don't know. It's a little too, I'm the lead in it. I directed it. I wrote it. I'm
right.
like, this is too much for then me to then release it. But it was such a great journey. And like, I got all my little indie up and coming filmmakers to work on it with me. And yeah, so that was a great experience. That was my second short film. And then my first short film was through the Film 5 program. And,
oh, wow.
and that was called Doors. Yeah. That was a few years ago. I still love that. I've been like working on I'm in like development for a TV series that I won't give away that much, but I have like an option agreement and American managers behind it.
Wow,
but so there
so
will
great.
Be something
that
but
you wrote,
I can't,
Alexandra,
yeah,
that you wrote
for the past 5 years. So
wow. Oh, that's so exciting.
So that, and a lot of people who are close to me know about it. So if there's some friends and colleagues of mine, they know exactly what I'm talking about. But that's all I will say.
Oh, that's
now.
So great. Okay. And I'll get you to promise us right now on the air, so I have you on the record, that you'll come back to talk about it.
Of course.
Yay!
I'd love to.
Okay. That's awesome. Okay. Listen, we got to stop down for another commercial break. Before we head there, though, I was talking about budgets. I was talking about, you know, the indie films and the shorts and the bigger productions like Youngblood. But you're a movie fan inherently, right? You like movies?
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do another little show on this radio station called Soundtrack. And because I think music and movies, like, it's another character. Like, it can uh-huh. it can change a scene in a heartbeat. Remind me to send you. Have you seen that scary cut of The Sound of Music? With the,
no.
With the horror music?
No.
Oh my gosh, it's so good. I'm going to send it to you after the show. But so to me, Alexandra McDonald, music in film is amazing. What uh-huh. I want you to do now as we head to this next commercial break is tell me your absolute favorite soundtrack song and tell me why.
Oh, okay. Okay, sounds good. I will. There's a few things coming to mind. I was obsessed with this, and it's a sports movie. I was obsessed with the music for the trailer of Bleed for This, which Miles Teller is the lead of the movie, and the song is called Too Dry to Cry. It always like made me want to just give my all in everything, so in sports especially, so that's my choice.
Right on. Well, it's a first here on CNBC Seen and Heard. I don't mind playing it.
I
Alexandra McDonald here on CNBC and Heard, but right now here's Willis Earl Beale with Too Dry to Cry on Cove FM.
She's like a pitchfork prong. So honey, lift up your dress and help me sing this song. Oh no, don't leave me hanging like a spider with no fly, 'cause I'll be banging on the walls, 'cause I'm too dry to fly. Oh no, don't leave me hanging like a spider with no fly, 'cause I'll be banging on the walls,
Bridges and Krung Bin by special request for my very special guest, Alexandra McDonald. And I said to her during the break, give me the song that you would put on. You jump in the car, you're going to rip out onto the roads for a spin, and you picked that one. Now, what do you love about it?
If you just listen to it, like the start of it, you're just like, it's a total road trip song. Like, and I feel like my imagination can really go wild when the song comes on, especially when I'm driving, and I kind of feel like I'm in some type of like romantic movie in Texas. So that's definitely what I need to be doing when I jump into my car and in Halifax right now, because the snow is just crazy. Oh, I need to disassociate and pretend I'm in the Texas sun.
There you go. Okay, now listen, in our remaining segment, I got a couple of questions I want to ask you. First of all, as an actress at a tender age, very accomplished already, I would imagine you have a tremendous amount of career goals. And because I know, you know, it's easy for us to see you up on the screen and go, wow, she's a movie star. But there's a lot of hard work and discipline and training and, you know, on the job skills that you've got over the years. Do you have any piece of advice for anybody out there who's, you know, younger than you or maybe older than you and looking to break in and or get into it? Do you have anything that you could offer that would sort of get them going?
If it is a thought that comes into your mind every day, then go after it. You can't ignore, you know, that need to create. So I would just go do it, go explore it. Don't put any pressure on yourself as to what you have to be. Just go enjoy the process of learning. And I mean, acting, I spent about 6 years training. Wow. And I from like 18 to 23. And so I went to school for acting for film and television. And then I took studio classes with Jacques McDonald. And I worked with a lot of really great actresses in that studio, like Clark Bacco, Karina Evans, Jonathan Kim. Those are all very successful, decorated Canadian talent that are doing amazing things. So I have learned things that have kept me going is my community, my family that supports me, and just that drive inside of me that I keep on telling to go. I remember in school, one of my teachers was like, there is only going to be one of you in this class that is actually going to make it.
Oh.
And then everybody was silent for a second. And in my head, I was like, well, that's going to be me.
Yes.
And then like a second later, he was like, and if you didn't think that was going to be you, then this is not the career for you.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, you have to believe in yourself. That is the number one rule for sure.
Which is incredible advice. Thank you for that. So now Youngblood is a remake. Alexandra McDonald, if you could remake any movie that you've seen over the years, mm-hmm. can go back way back to the, you know, It's a Wonderful Life kind of days, or maybe something that's in this latest round of Oscar nominated best pictures. But I want you to tell me the movie that you would want to remake so that you could star in it.
Practical Magic.
Oh my gosh. She says without hesitation.
Yeah. And then I do think there was rumors this year that it's being remade.
Oh, I feel like they've wrapped production.
Yeah, so, but that was my answer before the remake.
Okay.
And so I'm just so excited. I'm excited, but I'm also a little bit scared.
It's
not
a remake. That's a sequel.
A sequel. Okay, yes. So, I would want to be Sandra Bullock in Practical Madness, well, for sure.
Isn't she great? Now, so would Sandra be your favorite actress?
No, I don't think so. My favorite actress, it changes depending on what movie I saw that week. Because then I'm like, that's my favorite actress. I just saw Jessie Buckley and Hamnet,
and Hamnet.
I think she's an amazing actress. I really love like her look, and I strive to be an actress that feels real. So I would say this week, Jessie Buckley.
Oh, that's so great. Okay, so next week, The Sidekick and I will be doing our Oscar special, which is we do it every year, and it's winners in our books, but we shine the spotlight on all the Oscar-nominated movies and, you know, actor and actress categories, and of course, best original song. So I'm going to put you on the spot right now.
Uh-huh.
I know you just said you saw Hamnet, but of the 10 nominated films now, who do you think should win?
Hamnet. And then a close second would be Sentimental Value. Those are my top two for sure.
Okay. Now listen, Alexandra McDonald, before we run out of time entirely, we have to play Insights in 10. These are our final 10 questions. They are meant to be rapid fire, but there's absolutely no pressure. Alexandra McDonald, if you're ready, we'll begin.
I'm ready.
Alexandra McDonald, Sweet or salty?
Sweet.
Tea or coffee?
Coffee.
Okay. I like that about you. Okay. Alexander McDonald, morning or night?
Morning.
You said that without hesitation. Now, when you say morning and I say morning, I have a feeling they're two different mornings. But if I don't set an alarm for you now, when do you wake up?
Oh, if you don't set an alarm, I could wake up at like 9:30 or something. But okay. I love coffee. Okay. So I get like when I wake up, I'm like, I get to have coffee. And like that first sip of coffee is so much different than like the afternoon coffee. Yes. Like it really just hits in a way. And like I do workout classes and stuff, and I always feel really good after I do a morning class. I just feel like I'm a little bit better than everybody else who didn't work out this morning, you know? Like you just have that pep in your step after a morning workout.
There you go. All right, very good. Alexander McDonald, James Taylor or Taylor Swift?
James Taylor. I don't know. I need to look up James Taylor very quickly.
Wow. Oh, so it was a complete like, wow, an affront to Taylor Swift.
You know? Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. She was actually named after James Taylor, which if you're a Swiftie, you'd know that. But James Taylor is an incredible award-winning legendary singer-songwriter, you know, Sweet Baby James. And
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yes, I know. I'm looking him up. Yeah. James Taylor, for sure.
Wow. Okay. Your parents will be happy with that choice, probably. Okay. Alexander McDonald, planes, trains, or automobiles?
I would love to be on trains more. I when I lived in Toronto, I loved the subway. When I went to New York, I loved the subway system. My goal in life is to be somewhere in Switzerland on a train and drinking a Swiss beer and just looking at the mountains go by. Nice. That's one of my biggest dreams.
I was going to ask you, and I don't want to run out of time, but I do need to know this just so my curiosity is satisfied. But you know, you grew up in Kensington, you're living in Halifax now, you were based in Toronto for a good amount of time. City girl or country girl?
That one is hard. I am a very mix of both, but I would probably... No, I'm city. I'm city.
Okay. All right. Yeah. That's actually a bonus question for Insights in 10. Anybody who's listening is like, that's not part of the questions. Okay. We're moving on. Okay. Alexander McDonald, your favorite word?
Oh, niche.
Niche. Okay. There's no wrong answers. Alexander McDonald, your favorite sound.
Sound. Ooh, like the snap of a bubbly. Like, you know, when you open a bubbly and it's like a can, like, oh. I love like that sound.
Do you know the only other person who's ever said a can opening on this show was my daughter when she was 8. She's going to be so happy to hear that somebody else is in her camp. Okay. Alexander McDonald, your favorite song ever?
Oh, Vienna. Vienna by Billy Joel, right? Is it by Billy Joel?
It is by Billy Joel. Do you know why I'm shocked? It's my daughter's favorite song.
Stop.
God is my witness, you're freaking me out right now. All right, very good. Is she with you right now giving you answers? No. Okay. Alexander McDonald, your favorite movie?
Oh, this is a really, okay, this is like a really random one. Morning Glory with Rachel McAdams.
Oh, that's like, such a sweet movie. And Diane Keaton and Harrison Ford.
Yes. It came out in 2010, so I was 13 at the time. And I just thought, I want to be Rachel McAdams when I'm older. Like, I want to have her job. I want to work in this, like, I want to have that grip for life. And I just find it such a sweet movie. It could be on anywhere, and I would just sit down and watch it. Although I love so many movies, but I tend to just always choose that one because I watched it so much throughout my, like, teenage years, and I feel like I was like, this is the person I want to be. So.
Oh, there you go. And what a great actress she is, which leads us very nicely into our last question. It's a two-parter. And I have absolutely no doubt, based on this conversation and what I dare say is just the start of a brilliant career, Alexander McDonald, when they make the biopic, the Alexander McDonald story, who will star as Alexander McDonald?
Okay. Me, and then if it's not me,
you can write and direct and even cast, but you cannot star. You need to put somebody else. And imagine we're going to camera tomorrow now. So,
I would maybe choose Rachel Sennett, I need someone more athletic, I need someone with some more grit. maybe Zoe Dutch. That's who I'm going to cast.
All right. Judge. Very good. And who will star as your romantic lead?
Oh, my boyfriend really gives off the same vibe as the Pitt lead.
Oh, Noah Wiley?
Yeah, like Noah Wiley.
Noah Wiley.
Yeah, exactly.
They've just put ER back on Netflix. Have you ever watched that show?
No, but I've watched The Pitt, and I love his eyes. He's such a sweet energy, and that's like my boyfriend. So
roll it back, because you can see what Noah Wiley was like when he first hit the ER. In ER, because that's where he got his start, and see if your boyfriend looks like him. But in the meantime, we'll reach out to Noah's people and see if we can line him up for the Alexander McDonald biopic, which I know will come. I congratulate you on everything. I look forward to celebrating your series, fingers crossed, wood tapped, when that news breaks. But in the meantime, we'll encourage everyone to see Youngblood when it hits theaters on March the 6th. Alexander McDonald, you're extraordinary.
Thank you so much, Stephanie, for having me, and I hope everyone listening goes to their local theater and sees Youngblood.
What a talented force she is. Be sure to follow Alexandra on Instagram like we do at Alexandra C. McDonald. And do whatever you can to catch her stellar performance in Youngblood when it hits select theaters across Canada this Friday, March the 6th. Check your local listings and enjoy. You can find the podcast version of this show, along with all of our other CNBC Seen and Heard episodes, available to stream and download now on iTunes via Apple Podcasts. And for all the show notes and links to this broadcast, you can head to my Omni site at stephaniebeaumont.com. There you'll discover our entire catalog of episodes for this show, along with all of our soundtrack episodes too. Thanks to Jason McDonald for our CNBC Seen and Heard theme music. Thanks to Alexandra McDonald for being my guest. And thanks to all of you for joining us today. Sure hope you will again next time here on Cove FM. I'm your host, Stephanie Beaumont. Be well till then.